I don't know what that was, but it was quite loud.
Excuse me.
Sie hören die Sendung Wellenlänge. Vous écoutez la transmission longueur d'onde. Udite la trasmissione lunghezza d'onde. You are hearing the transmission called wavelength.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm William English, and today's telephonic guest is Captain Maurice Seddon, Royal Signals retired. Good afternoon, Maurice.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And how are you?
Oh, as well as conditions at my age, being an old wreck, permit.
Yes. And whereabouts are you? Where are we speaking? Where are you speaking to us from, as it were?
I'm speaking from the ancient cottage in which I've lived now for over 50 years.
Which is where?
It is about 2 miles from Windsor.
Oh, yes. You're in Datchet, aren't you? Is it the village of Datchet?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Did you hear the opening announcement, did you?
I heard various things. I'm not sure which was part of the announcement and which wasn't. But it all was quite understandable.
Yes. And that was your own voice with the wavelength announcements in various languages.
I recalled that, but I had forgotten what I had said on the previous broadcast, but when I heard that, I immediately recalled it.
Yes. Well, I've got two or three recordings from the past, which I thought I'd play. They're only a few minutes each, but they're you recorded. Well, the first one was actually in 1987, which is now 23 years ago.
Fascinating.
So what I'll do is I'll play that now, and then it's only quite brief, and then we can talk again afterwards.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
Good. I'm glad you preserved them so well.
Telephoning New York, on the 8th of December 1988, on behalf of William English, ringing 0101-212-533-6686. The object of the exercise being that William has asked me to get a recording of an answering machine with a peculiar snappy answer which he wants for making a film with. I have dialed out the number for New York, and nothing seems to happen.
The number you have reached, 533-6686, has been disconnected. 533-6686 has been disconnected. No further information is available about 533-6686.
Hello, Morris.
Hello.
Do you remember that one?
Sorry?
Do you remember that one?
Parts of it, yes.
Yes.
Not the whole.
No. But you used to have a habit, didn't you, of recording all of your phone calls on cassette... On cassette tape.
Yes, I used to do that.
Yeah.
I've given it up now. It's all additional work and labour and the rest of it, you know.
Yes.
And as one gets older, so one gets more and more lazy in these things.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah. So you must have quite an archive. You must have hundreds of them.
Oh, I have, but I've lost track of them. They're scattered about all over the place.
Yeah. That might be interesting to go through some of them sometime.
Yes, well.
We should listen to them together. How far back do they go, do you think?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, no, I really can't tell you. I mean, they may go back 20 years, they may go back 50 years.
Yeah. And did you also have... you've also got sort of VHS tapes, I think, of the time when you appeared on the David Letterman show in New York?
Yes, I've got tape recordings of each and every one of the numerous broadcasts that I was involved in. And they involved Sender Freies Berlin, the sender of Free Berlin, ARD, excuse me, I've got hiccups. ARD is another German broadcasting station. Sender Freies Berlin we've had, I think, haven't we? Yes. Many English ones, French ones, Italian ones, and so on.
It's sort of, but there were two American ones that weren't there, where they, didn't they sort of ship your motorcycle over to America?
Do you know, your memory is so much better than mine. You see, I'm so old now that a lot of things in my memory have just gone off the record.
And yeah.
I don't remember them anymore. Do you, you said I took the motorcycle...
Well, I seem to remember that you actually rode onto the stage of some TV programme on your old motorbike.
In America?
Well, maybe. Or perhaps it was the Russell Harty show in London or something.
Well, it could well have been a Russell Harty show.
Yeah.
I was involved in American broadcasts and so forth. I don't recall taking the motorcycle to America, but it is perfectly possible because the motorcycle was taken to all sorts of places.
All right, well, here's another recording from the past. This is from 1987.
Yes.
It's not that. That's actually Captain Beefheart from Safe as Milk, I think. We'll get the right track now. Okay.
I didn't know that one.
No.
Hello?
Hello?
This is Captain Set for you.
Just put a call through to him, sir.
Thank you.
No, just put a call through to him. You're going to hold.
I didn't understand what you said.
I said just put a call through to him. Can you hold a minute?
Oh, yes. Righto.
Who's speaking again?
Captain Morris Seddon, S-E-D-D-O-N. He knows me.
Captain Seddon.
Seddon, S for sugar, E, double D for dog, O-N, Seddon.
Seddon.
That's it.
Okay, sir. Hold him, please.
Hello, it's Maurice Seddon. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. Just off to Greece, actually.
Oh, you're going on holiday?
Yes, taking some furniture to our house there. Yep.
Oh, I see. Are you going today?
Tomorrow, actually.
I see. Well, forgive me troubling you in the Aufbruch, as it were, but the thing is, William English, who you know, has consulted me in despair. He has, in effect, invoked my assistance. Let me explain the situation. On the one hand, in financial terms, I'm the merest grain of sand on the beach. I'm as poor as a church mouse. Yet in other respects, I am extraordinarily well connected, and I have certain abilities in getting quite phenomenal results in terms of speeding things up in many fields. Now, to give you an example of something that happens relatively frequently and happened as recently as about 10 days ago, supposing a user of wireless communication has a breakdown of a telecom line to their control point, and they try through all normal means to get it right, and after 14 days or more, the thing still isn't working, and all normal means are broken down, they then refer the matter to me as a sort of, as something, an unicum ganz auf Deutsch. And this unicum is then engaged to deal with the matter, with the result that within 22 hours the thing is working again. And this happens not once, but it happens often, and it happens in many fields. Now, I have never, ever had the problem before of dealing with a tardy and lackadaisical surveyor. I know absolutely nothing about surveyors. But I'm very much a ginger merchant and a go-getter, and in that I have been invoked to do this thing. I'm going to do my absolute damnedest, and I shall stop at no limit to get the thing put right. But before I do anything, I wanted to consult with you and make sure that the situation as I have been told it by William English really is the case. Sorry?
By all means.
Yes.
Morris?
Yes?
Do you remember that one?
Dimly.
You see, we can't name the names. I've had to edit it.
In part.
We've had to edit the names out because there were, obviously it concerns... It could be sort of libelous because it involved someone who wasn't doing his job properly.
Oh, I see.
But you actually negotiated on behalf... It was to do with the lease on the dining room.
Oh, I see, yes.
Do you remember that?
A what on the dining room?
Well, there was a lease... Which didn't come through for what seemed like years.
Yes.
And in the end, you sort of intervened and managed to push things ahead.
Oh, I see. I must admit, I'm sorry to say, but that is the state of my memory now. I had forgotten that.
Yes. Never mind. You sound much more sprightly then, don't you?
I do. I'm sure I did.
Yes.
Of course, I am. I say to people, I'm just an old wreck.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, you're still... How old are you now?
84 and a half, I suppose, yes.
Right. So that was 23 years ago.
Gosh.
Yeah.
How time flies.
Yes, indeed.
It really is amazing.
Now, I was going to play some theremin music.
You were going to play...
Some theremin music.
Oh, yes, yes.
But I remember, I think when I mentioned theremin to you before...
Yes.
You sort of mistook it for something to do with a woolly hat.
Did I, yes.
Yes, you said that somebody had sold you a woolly hat for £50 and you couldn't find it.
Yes, that is still the situation. I cannot find it.
But why does the word theremin put you in mind of the woolly hat?
Because on the woolly hat there are very brief inscriptions. There's very little information on the woolly hat. But one of the words, there is a word which I can't remember. It starts with T-H. Oh, dear. I wish I could remember it. It was something like... No. The T-H from thermal, you see.
Right.
And then the rest of the word also relates to thermal.
Yeah.
And it's more or less a description of the function of the woolly hat.
Yes.
And it's one of the very few... words which are printed on the woolly hat.
Right.
And so it would have been desirable to be able to quote that word.
Yes.
Unfortunately, as the woolly hat has disappeared, and there is no separate document as such on it, I can't do that.
It seems very expensive for a hat, £50.
Well, it does seem a lot, but that is why I was inquiring about it. I want to verify... whether I've been charged a correct price,
yeah,
or whether I've been overcharged, I really can't say.
Well, I think you've been overcharged.
Well, it's possible.
I mean, you
must be very careful not to anticipate these things, because it may well turn out to be perfectly correct that it is that it does cost over £50.
Do you actually need it?
I don't need it. I bought it because it seemed to me a good idea in principle. To insulate one's head.
Yes.
Because a great deal of heat is lost from the head every day.
Yeah.
Now, this particular woolly hat thing, it isn't wool, it's some synthetic concoction or other, but it has a high quality insulation, thermal insulation characteristic. So it retains the heat very, very much better than any normal headgear.
Yes. But you around the house, I think you wear heated clothing, don't you?
Well, I used to.
Uh-huh.
I must admit that I don't often use the heated clothing these days. I have it on hand in case of need.
Yeah.
And if the weather gets very cold, or if the ordinary heating, the water heating system should fail, then I can fall back on the electric heating.
Right,
and
right.
That is a great blessing.
Yes.
But
So you have the various garments which have sort of wires running through them.
Oh, indeed, yes.
And you plug them into the wall.
Heated insoles, heated gloves, heated undervests, heated long underpants. Oh, goodness knows.
Yes.
Masses of things, all heated.
Okay. Well, there's another recording coming up. This is quite a strange one. This is also from 1987.
Oh, yes.
And on this occasion, you're speaking to someone called Fritz Fend in Germany.
What's his name, Fritz?
Fritz Fend.
Sankt.
Fend, F-E-N-D.
Sankt.
Yeah.
I don't recall that name at all.
Right.
Never mind.
All right. Well, I'll run the tape and perhaps it will jog a memory or something.
It may.
Let's see what happens.
Yes.
I call them mediums or clairvoyants. Clairvoyance and clairaudience is also used in mediumship, part of your own psychic ability.
Hang on one second.
Right.
I'm having to rewind the tape.
Right.
Doesn't sound right at all. Fritz Fend. All right. Try again. Yes, this chap was the... I think he was the designer of the Messerschmitt.
Yes, Fend.
Oh, guten Tag. Ist das Herr Fend persönlich?
Persönlich, ja.
Ah, guten Tag, Herr Fend. Sie kennen mir nicht. Mein Name ist Captain Morris Seddon. Ich spreche aus England.
Ja.
Ich bin zwar halb Engländer, aber halb Hildesheimer.
Ja.
Haben Sie inzwischen von mir einen Brief bekommen vom 14. Januar?
Nein.
Haben Sie nicht bekommen? Ist denn das möglich? Herr Fend, ich habe ein Schreiben an Ihnen gerichtet am 14. Januar an den Public Relations Beauftragte, Firma Fritz Fend, Entwicklungsinstitut, Thurmeier Straße 11, 8500 Regensburg.
Was geht es da?
Also, Sie haben das bestimmt nicht bekommen.
Ja, bei mir ist es nicht bekannt. Vielleicht ist es irrtümlich woanders gelandet im Betrieb. Gell?
So, also das Allerbeste ist, wenn ich darf, ich werde Ihnen dieses Brief vorlesen.
Ja?
Als halb, sehr geehrte Herren, als halb Deutscher bin ich gebeten worden von Mr. William English, nicht deutsch sprechend, in seinem Auftrage an Ihnen zu schreiben. Er beabsichtigt, ein Dokumentarfilm zu drehen, Titel Messerschmitt, mit Hauptthema Kabinenroller. Ich habe schon mehrmals telefoniert in Mr. William English Auftrage mit Herr Ostmeier, Public Relations von Messerschmitt in Augsburg. Er hat mir Ihre Adresse gegeben. Bitte wollen Sie so freundlich sein und so viele wie nur möglich Lichtbilder von Prototypen, Fendt-Flitzer und so weiter, Exemplare von früher Reklamematerial, Lichtbilder vom Fabrikinnenansichten, in Klammern Produktionslinien, Fertigungsstätten und so weiter, betreffend diesen und ähnlichen Fendt-Messerschmitt-Fahrzeuge schicken zu lassen an, und dann gebe ich die Adresse.
Ja.
Falls Sie irgendwelche Fragen haben sollten, am besten telefonieren Sie an mir. Mr. William English spricht kein Deutsch, am obigen Nummer.
Ich darf Ihnen Folgendes sagen. Ich werde mich sofort darum kümmern, ob das vielleicht irrtümlich zu einer anderen Stelle gegangen ist. Und wenn ich das dann habe, sicher ist es irgendwo, weil das eine Geschichte ist, mit der wir uns momentan nicht befassen. Gell? Könnte es sein, dass das jemand bekommen hat, der das nicht weiter verfolgt hat. Und dann werde ich mich gleich darum kümmern.
Das wäre sehr lieb. Darf ich Ihnen meine Telefonnummer geben, für den Fall, dass Sie den Schreiben nicht finden sollten?
Ja.
Das ist in England 0753 42242.
0753 42242.
Ja, und am besten immer vormittags, am besten vor 11 Uhr.
Vormittag vor 11 Uhr. Also ich werde mich drum annehmen, gell?
Das ist sehr nett. Darf ich fragen, haben Sie solchen Akten da?
Ja, ja.
Wunderbar, gut. Und können Sie mir noch einen kleinen Rat geben? Er hat sich bei, also ich habe für ihn einen Brief geschrieben an Messerschmidt, direkt, mit die Frage, ob die ihm eventuell finanziell etwas, wenn nur in ganz bescheidenen Ausmaß, unterstützen würden bei der Fertigstellung dieser Film. Und die haben leider negativ geantwortet. Haben Sie irgendwelche Möglichkeiten, bei Ihnen das zu tun?
Glaube ich nicht. Da haben wir nichts vorgesehen. Gell?
Und haben Sie irgendwelche Vorschläge, wie er das am besten machen könnte, wenn überhaupt?
Ich werde mir das überlegen und wenn ich die Geschäfte bearbeite, ich würde Sie nur bitten, wenn Sie mir einige Zeit Geduld lassen, denn ich bin in den wenigen Tagen bin ich verreist und dann bin ich zurück und mache ich das.
Und wann kommen Sie wieder?
Sagen wir mal in guten 8 Tagen sowas.
Aha, ja. Und werden Sie schreiben oder telefonieren oder was?
Ich lasse mir die Unterlagen jetzt zusammenstellen, dann werde ich mich rühren. Gell?
Sehr vielen Dank.
Gut, ich bedanke mich.
Bitte. Alles Gute.
Danke.
Wiederhören. A telephone call to Herr Fritz Fendt personally in Regensburg on the 24th of February 1987 at 10:15 in the morning. End of recording.
Hello, Morris.
Hello.
Did you hear any of that? Hear that all right?
I heard it all, yes.
Yes. What's he talking about?
Well, slightly complicated. Apparently, I had written a letter to him.
Yes.
Quite a detailed letter. And he had not received this letter.
Mm-hmm.
So I then said, well, may I read to you the letter over the telephone?
Right.
And he said, yes, go ahead. And I did that. And he presumably noted what I said in the spoken version of the letter.
Yeah.
And it related to a form of motor scooter called a Messerschmitt.
Yes.
And also to certain other forms of similar transport. I can't remember the detail anymore.
Yeah. Well, do you remember the Messerschmitt?
I remember the name quite well.
Yeah.
Because it was also the name of a famous wartime airplane.
Yes, that's right.
But the detail I don't remember, no.
No. But you've got several three-wheeler cars yourself, haven't you? Don't you have sort of these...
I have very ancient... electrically propelled, invalid, I suppose you'd call them tricycles, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Or sort of a kind of armchair on three wheels.
Yeah, yeah.
Driven by batteries.
Yes.
Yes, I have those indeed.
Do you still use them or?
I haven't used them for quite some time, but I've been toying with the idea of taking one into use, excuse my hiccups, quite recently. But I haven't actually got round to doing anything. That's another thing in one's old age. There is no longer an incentive to get on and do anything.
Hmm.
So one tends to do nothing rather than something.
Yes. All right. Well, on that note, I'm going to end with some theremin or theremin music, Morris.
Yes.
Which is sort of where we came in with the woolly hat business.
Sure.
But do you remember the theremins at all? Do you remember this sort of musical instrument thing which is like a rod and people sort of move their hand around it and the tone goes up and down?
I very dimly remember it. The principle I might perceive.
Well, this is... You can hear it now in the background with piano accompaniment. This is by somebody called Clara Rockmore from Clara Rockmore's Lost Theremin album.
It's very strange, isn't it?
Yes. It's usually used sort of for eerie film scores and so on, to convey a sort of atmosphere of strangeness and so on.
Oh, I see.
But it's like a continuous sort of electronic tone that sort of goes up and down.
I see. Definitely very unusual.
Yes. So you're not familiar with these instruments?
No.
No?
But one time, years ago.
Yeah.
And I've heard it being played, but I've never had any close contact with them.
No.
They certainly have a very strange sound. Yeah. About that.
All right, Morris. Well, we're going to wind up the programme now.
Jolly good.
So thank you very much for joining in and listening to your old recordings.
I hope it was a success.
Yep. All right.
So that was best to you.
Yes, Captain Morris Seddon, thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.